like to call the order of the regular meeting of the City Council, City of Story Acres, today, Monday, November 25th, 2013, at 7 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones.
Beau Bunker present.
Matt Weber present.
Rick Moses present.
Mark Weaver present.
And Nancy called in and said she would not be here. She is absent this evening. The next item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone, please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Good evening, everybody. The next item on the agenda is special presentations, which there are none that appear. Item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting, November 11th, 2013. Council has had a chance to review those minutes. I will entertain a motion at this time.
I make a motion to approve minutes 4.1, November 11th, 2013.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mike. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? With none appearing, the motion carries. Thank you. Council reports and requests. I don't have any reports on meetings attended. Rick, I believe you're up next. 5.2. Thank you.
Good evening. Hit some highlighted points on the hiring process for the upcoming chief position that is vacated. The posting opening and job description came off November the 4th. It was posted through TML, T-Close, and some other sites. Also outside here that gets posted. Applications are being received through the 22nd of this month. Basically, they're going to be numbered and filed in correspondence as we get copies. All the correspondence, resumes, applications are all going to David's desk. He's going to compile them, put together. He's got a flow chart that he has designed that we basically have them all by credentials and ranking. Basically, we're going to acknowledge them by receipt to let them know that we've received the resumes. He's going to, like I said, create a PDF file for myself, along with the mayor himself and Chief Massey to evaluate. What we'll do is break it down by materials, by the information that we received to do the first line of cut. There'll be more than one. Basically, what we're going to do is do one line, go through all the information, decipher between us four, and then decide who the top candidates are. Then we'll start going with a second round from there. We'll start going through all the applications again. Then you start doing a little bit more thorough investigating, contacting agencies and things of this nature to find out, you know, one that we want to make sure on this police chief, basically we have a history about him, what he's been doing in the past. You know, you can send it in on paper and look beautiful, but we need to find out the nuts and bolts to it. So to follow up with other agencies, T-Close, make sure there's no discipline actions out there, things of this nature. Basically, we're going to have a, on December the 3rd, basically, it'll get down to the applicants of the city on December the 3rd. We'll make a decision who the last final draft is. There'll be a committee meeting on December the 4th to go through those names and be further for further consideration. So by the 10th, we're going to review and discuss who the top three of six candidates are going to be. So there's going to be a little bit of a process between now and then. This isn't an overnight process. We're not going to have a new chief in the next 10 or 20 days. It's going to be a little bit of a process. The committee will conduct a candidate interview on the 20th of December. That's the 20th of December. And then on or before on the 20th of December, we'll review the candidates, be interviewed, and then select the last two or three finalists. On the 23rd, the finalists to be each member of the City Council be interested parties before the 23rd. We'll schedule a social event for the finalists for a public hearing on January the 3rd. And then the committee will meet on January the 9th to select the final candidate who will be hired for Chief of Police. Make the final selection, authorize employment of the Chief of Police will be on January the 13th. So. And that's reading straight off this. I generally don't read off, but I'm trying to get it hit each point. So by January the 13th, 2014, Shore Acres will have a new active chief. In the process between now and then, there's going to be a lot of paperwork to go through, a lot of applications to review. Chief Massey, myself, along the mayor, and David will be reviewing all those. But you will have a chance to speak and meet the candidates. Like I said, going back, I believe it was January the 3rd. Is that correct, David?
I think that's
January the 3rd. So everybody will get to be able to meet those ones that are here. So in a nutshell, the process has begun. I think we have 56 correct right now, or a few more that came in?
We have 58 applications that were received by the closing, and an additional 5 as backups.
Right. So you've got quite a few applicants this time. However, not all those applicants sent in all their general information. So now we did have a cutoff date. However, on certain websites, some of the information was not there that Shore Acres provides on their website, that you have to fill in a Shore Acres policy application. But they have already turned in general information, so we'll basically go ahead and put them in line to get the rest of the information they need. But it's not one of these drag your feet things. And they all understand this is how the process is going to work. So it's going to be definitely the motions of the wheels are turning very quickly. There'll be a lot of information to go through in the next few weeks, no doubt.
Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Rick. Are there any questions from or comments from council at this time? Any citizens' comments? All right. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, 5.3. Bo Bucker, report on request made that the Chief of Police review traffic speed concerns on South Country Club.
Yeah, after the meeting 2 weeks ago on the 11th, I looked into the West Country Club and Country Club speed limits, the ropes for speed bumps, just anything I could think of. And after talking with a couple of folks, I asked Chief Massey to kind of look into it, give us a list of options to review, just his recommendations on how we can address the speeding. Possibly the dangerous curve signs, things like that. Just get the ball rolling with him, making us some recommendations. I asked him to have that list and recommendations for us by next council meeting, which will be December 9th, I believe. So I just want to keep you guys abreast of what I was doing.
Thank you all. Any questions from council? Citizens' comments? Not appearing. We'll move on to the next item. 6.1, citizens' comments. If anyone would like to address council, please state your name and address, and we're here to hear what you have to say. If they're not appearing, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Administrative reports. 7.1, general activity report. David?
Good evening. On November 20th, we had our pre-construction meeting for the next two street projects, which is Oakdale and also Forest, completing the work that being done between Byway and Old 146 on both of those streets. The result of that is today a notice to proceed letter was issued to the contractor for December 9th. So that's the start day for that construction project. It's a 90-day construction period, and of course they get credit for weather days, and so we don't expect it to be exactly 90 days. The Byway Waterline project, they now have all of the new line in the ground. They have the three new fire hydrants are installed. We asked them to elevate those fire hydrants. They put them back at the same elevation as the existing hydrants, which were lower than our new specifications. Two of them have already been raised 18 inches. The third one will be raised here shortly. They were to come and do some finalizing work today, but weather prevented that. They have sanitizing, they have valves to install, and then the connections to the existing system. Since they're working in a ditch line, their hole fills with water, so they're going to have a couple days of dry weather to get that done. But the important thing is all the boring work is done, and the pipe is in the ground now. So the major portion of that project is complete. The recycling containers that we relocated temporarily for construction of the water plant one here next to Public Works, we moved them over to the dead end of Bioforest, and the neighbors over there are happy that the recycling bins have returned back to Public Works and are no longer on Bioforest. it's also much more convenient for us because that's where we discharge the recycled paper out of our trailer before we take the remaining materials to La Porte. So it's a better work area for us to be doing that. We're moving forward with the transition of dispatch. There have been some partially unanticipated expenses with that to maximize the benefit. The mobile terminals that we have in the police cars to work with the dispatching system that the port has require software that for the four vehicles will be $2,700. And then there's an annual maintenance, not this year, but starting next year, to be $576 a year. We also have two mobile radios that are the older ones that will not be compatible with the City of Houston radio system when they transition to the City of Houston. There's not a date yet for that transition, so those vehicles will continue until that time. However, we had budgeted those radios for the two new cars so that we would have all new radios, and as you know, that was taken out of the budget. So we'll need to figure out where we're going to come up with the money. Those radios are $3,500 a piece plus installation, and so we'll work on how we're going to accomplish that. We have an opportunity to participate with the records management system that La Porte has and uses, which is really superior. We budgeted to purchase our own freestanding software across the street, and it is pretty much on a par of paying a licensing fee to use the records management system, goes by the name of OSSI, that La Porte uses in a consortium of other agencies. The ringer there, however, is it requires us to have a point-to-point fiber optics connection to the League City Police Department. And I've just got the cost information on that. It's a $300 setup fee, and it's $400 a month for that 5-megabyte fiber optic connection. So I'm not sure that we're in a position to jump into the records management yet. So we're going to sort out the dispatch first and then move forward on what our other options are. Over the weekend, we had a house fire at 222 East Forest. And I'm pleased to report that we had no water issues at all related to that fire. There were no pressure or volume issues. We had Public Works folks on site. They did not have to manually operate any of our water facilities. They all operated on automatic and maintained proper pressure for the whole duration of that event. And that's all I've got tonight.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from council? Any citizens' comments?
Yes, sir.
Jerry Vickie, 3346 Miramar. I have a question on the water pressure. Water pressure was good for the fire response. But the question is, if we have a situation like that, where the fire department had to hook up their whatever 8-inch or 6-inch hoses and draw a lot of water, does our booster pump, does that kick in automatically, or how do we get it? It kicks in automatically.
Yes, sir.
So we don't need an employee here or whatever to monitor the pumping setup.
No, it is pressure driven. So when the pressure drops from a system loss, which in this case would be the fire department pulling out of a hydrant, it will kick the booster on.
Yeah.
In the case that we want additional water capacity, we can today manually override that and raise the pressure higher than what it would normally call for, which would move extra water. And we did not need to do that in this case. And this is until we get our SCADA system online, and then that also will be automated. And so in that event, we will be able to sense system pressure at both plants, and we'll be able to tell when we have a system loss, and we'll be able to boost to that.
Okay. Because I was out there at the pumper truck, we made the initial connection, and the pressure was not adequate initially. Then after a few minutes and so forth, it looked like somebody went to the pump and turned it on, and it boosted the pressure up to 50 psi, and that's plenty adequate for our purpose, which is good to see.
Yeah, and that was automatic.
That was a big relief compared to the previous fire we had on Forest, and that didn't work out too well. That was a few years ago, 3 years ago. And I have one other question about... We receive by the website, there's an indicator that we received grant money to run a new line from here down to Sunrise and then over to Oakdale.
Yes, sir.
What is the status of that installation, and will it require the road, the existing street, to be tore up any to put that line in?
No, we got environmental clearance on that project, which was the final step last month. The project engineer on that is the city engineer, Jerry Gaynor, and he elected to wait until after the holidays to put that out for bidding. Thought he would get more responsive bids, and also wanted to have the opportunity to assess the work that the contractor who won the bid for Byway did.
Yeah.
So if that contractor bid on the job, he would have some history. Not wanting to give them both jobs and not know how.
Well, I can understand. Also, wait till we have a little drier weather to dig into that problem.
And to answer your question, that line will all be on the north side of Shoreacres Boulevard. It will start in front of the water plant, and then it will go east, of course. They'll be boring under the new streets. They may interrupt some driveways and replace driveways, but none of the street surface will be disturbed in that process. It will move. It will go across Sunrise to the corner where the Schrader house is at, mm-hmm. and then we'll turn south and we'll be then on the east side of Westview and run down to Oakdale.
Oakdale, yeah.
And it will go to the northeast corner of Oakdale and Sunrise,
yeah.
Where there's a hydrant today, and then that it will turn and go north on Oakdale when it's continued. This project will stop at that intersection.
Okay, thank you very much. I know that will improve the water pressure. Oakdale, straight along, probably to the yacht club.
It will tie into six existing mains, so it will provide much greater pressure to a large portion of the city, one of which is a line that goes north on Westview and ties back into Fairfield, and so it will loop the system and provide tremendous increase. It's not replacing a line on Shoreacres Boulevard. The line that it is paralleling and it won't be replacing, but will parallel, it currently takes that water, goes down Oakdale, goes across Circle Park to the other end of Oakdale to Westview, and then comes north to Westview and Shoreacres Boulevard. Yes. So it's an added capacity. It's not replacing a line. It's a huge improvement.
The fire that occurred yesterday, you know, one of the issues is the distance of fire hydrants, and that's something maybe that needs to be looked at maybe a year or two from now. As you know, the fire department has stretched a lot of hose, and they ran out of hose and had to bring in another truck and string another couple lengths of hose to make the connection to reach the house. So for what it's worth, later on, somebody will probably be on council or mayor. Something to look at maybe a year or two from now.
If I could note on that, last year, I worked with the city engineer and public works director, and we established a city standards of minimum standards, and it addresses hydrant spacing. The goal is to get 600 feet from any property to a fire hydrant, and we put into place a mapping of the hydrants and where that need is at, and so that we can start scheduling and move forward. Both of these projects, both Byway and the Shoreacres Boulevard project and the center project, are all following that standard, both the size of pipe and placement of hydrants. And that's why we're getting three additional hydrants in addition to what currently exists and being replaced on the Shoreacres Boulevard line. We got a new additional hydrant on Byway because we're following that standard. And so we're online and doing that.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Are there any other questions or comments from citizens at this time? Not appearing, we'll move on to the financial report. Dave?
Yes, sir. In your packet, we're starting off a new year, and it's almost a little misleading with the checking accounts because we have no revenues coming in. We have money going out. General fund at the end of October had $72,935. Utility fund had $89,909. Our service deposit balance is $54,297. We are waiting for the first checks to come in, which traditionally come from mortgage companies where people have escrow and tax funds that are paid to the city in December. We received a check today that we were hoping would be one of the large checks, and it was about $3,800, so that doesn't quite get there. We need to make sure we keep enough money to make payroll and to pay those things that are required, and then we'll be able to move on with other expenditures. The our CDBG fund balance is $1,607. We just did a pay request filing today for the next round, and of course that's all passed through. At the end of those projects, which now outstanding, closing out the water plants and then the two new road projects that we're doing, that should all pull down to $0. Our tax pool balance is $854,741, and you can see that reflected in our general fund where we showed credits of $192,000. $100,000 of that is money that we annually borrow in the first quarter. Fourth calendar quarter, but the city's financial first quarter from tax pool so that we can pay our bills. On the back of that are certificates of deposit. We never touched the certificates of deposit, so we have $249,741 in value in our certificates of deposit, which there are four. Property tax collection, you can see as of the end of October for this year, we have been dispersed a total of $7,990, and so we're ready for November and December monies to come in. Sales tax, we had a little bit of a windfall there. We had a 78% increase in this October sales tax versus last year. $9,483 in general sales tax, which also generated $2,371. For our street maintenance tax. And that is the financial report.
Thank you, David. Are there any questions from council at this time? Any citizens' comments at this time on financials? If they're not appearing, we'll move to the next item. Under business, item 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. If the council has had a chance to review those invoices, I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion to approve our invoices.
Thank you, Rick. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? If none appearing, the motion carries. Item 8.2, consideration action to adopt ordinance number 2013-151 and amending the city code requirement for substance abuse testing. Although Nancy couldn't be here this evening, the item still appears on the agenda, and I'd like to take a moment to speak about that ordinance. I am in favor of this particular change as it removes some of the language in the old code that would require us to test for any and all incident reported or any and all incidents that occur on the job. And it does define what a required testing or recordable work-related injury is and makes that a mandatory test. And then for any other incident, there are three people in that chain of command that can then request a test be conducted, which would be the immediate supervisor, David Stahl, or the mayor, which I believe satisfies the request that had been brought to council's attention that the process be improved. Are there any questions or comments from council at this time?
No, and it's I'm in favor of it. It does simplify the wording, the verbiage, and gives it a pretty clear cut definition. I'm just a little hesitant, to make any kind of motion on it if that's where we're headed, since Nancy's not here, and it was her deal on the agenda anyway. I'm in favor of it.
I draft these modifications to the ordinance, forward that to Alderman Schnell for her review. I've communicated with her since then. She did not offer any additional changes. When she contacted me today and said she would not be able to attend the meeting, I asked about this being on the agenda and if she had any information she wanted to share with council or direction, and she said that nothing beyond what was said at the last meeting. So I'm of the opinion that Alderman Schnell is fine with what's before us tonight.
I think it's pretty clear cut what was done. I mean, she started it, but she didn't make any comments to David about it, and hates to keep pushing things off. So I mean, I think this is something that it's very clear that we've all received it. Yeah, she didn't say that David this afternoon. I think we got to go with it.
And I would also remind council that I had asked for the ordinance to clarify, so.
I think this will put this to bed.
Put it to rest.
I make a motion that we approve.
It's fine. We can still manage it in that fashion. We have a tendency of doing it in a different procedural different procedure. But we can handle it in that method, and I'll show you how it's done. So go ahead, Mike. You're making a motion, Mike.
I make a motion that we adopt ordinance 2013-151, amending the city code requirement for substance abuse testing.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great, thank you. At this point in time, we'll open up the discussion on that motion. Are there any questions or concerns from citizens at this time? With none of hearing, we'll proceed with a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, the motion carries. And if there's no other questions from council, we are adjourned at. Wrong pocket. Here we go. 7:27.